This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with Ray Estefania, the co-founder and executive director of Family Recovery Specialist, an intensive outpatient program for adolescents and adults that also provides concierge crisis and case management and intervention services for all ages. Mr. Estefania, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
And we're happy to have you as well. Thanks for your time. So when and how does drug abuse start and progress? Let's start there.
Okay, well, what we know about substance use disorders and addiction is that they really are developmental disorders. They really tend to start in the early adolescent years. If you look at most adults who have drug problems today, the majority of those people started their use, their experimentation when they were teens. How does it start? It starts for a lot of different reasons. I mean, sometimes it's curiosity for teenagers. Sometimes it's peer pressure. It's just basically, their culture nowadays. Unfortunately, substance use is a big part of that. And, whether it's alcohol or it's marijuana or it's other drugs, it's, sort of being a teen and experimenting with high-risk behaviors kind of comes along with that developmental age. There are older folks that don't necessarily start in their teen years that may, develop a problem later on in life. Oftentimes those people, if you look at the opiate epidemic that we have right now, a lot of those people got started because of legitimate medical problems, often, and maybe had pain issues or things like that. And sometimes that's another way that people get started on the road to addiction.
So how can you tell the signs and symptoms of drug use and drug addiction?
Well, Eric, there's lots of different signs and symptoms. I like to think of it this way. I like to, because someone may use a substance does not mean they are addicted to it. May not even mean they have a problem. We know people that can drink alcohol and do it recreationally and socially and don't have an issue. But for me, the important thing to look at when you're trying to determine if someone really has a problem is how is it impacting their overall functioning? How is it affecting their relationships, their ability to function at work, at home? How is it interfering with their ability to get along in life and to sort of be productive? And so the first thing you start to see is, when someone's developing a drug problem is it starts to impair their judgment, their decision-making. It starts to interfere with their ability to sort of meet the demands of daily life and meet their responsibilities to family and work and things like that. So, there's other sort of more physiological symptoms that we look at, things like tolerance and physical dependence and, loss of control over the use of the substance. And, one of the hallmark symptoms is continued use despite consequences, right? So once a person's relationship with substances becomes, so central to their needs on a daily basis, often that starts to interfere with daily life, which causes then consequences. And unfortunately, the consequences don't necessarily change their behavior. So the basic thing for me is to look at, is it impacting their ability to function in their life? And if it is, it may be a problem.
Yeah, thanks for your response there. Now, what drugs commonly cause problems and how do they affect the body?
Well, Eric, all drugs can affect the body in some way or another. They're all the drugs can be dangerous and can cause impact on the body as well as impact on some of these other areas of functioning that we're talking about. Obviously, some drugs impact the body more than others. Some drugs are more addictive than others. You know, we're seeing a lot right now. You're hearing it in the media about the heroin epidemic, the opiate epidemic. Clearly, that's a drug that is highly addictive, and, you know, people can become addicted to an opiate very quickly, and it's causing deaths around the country. I mean, just we have an epidemic of overdose deaths right now. In fact, you know, as far as young people goes, it used to be the number one way young people were dying was in car accidents, and so that has changed. Now the number one way that young adults, young people are dying is because of overdose deaths. So some drugs like heroin and some of the other opiates are obviously more lethal, more dangerous than others. But take alcohol. I mean, if you look at alcohol, it's probably the most commonly used substance in our society. But it is a substance that if you really have an alcohol problem, it probably causes more damage to the body than most of the other substances that we know of. In fact, if you look at alcohol deaths overall, whether it's directly or indirectly related to drinking alcohol, the number of people that are dying as a result of alcohol is far greater than the number that are dying from most of the other illicit substances. So again, it really depends on the substance and, you know, sort of how that impacts the body. But more importantly, it depends on what the person's relationship with that substance is. Because a substance used in moderation may not impact the body all that much. A substance that is being abused, you know, or a substance that someone is really dependent on is going to cause a lot more problems and a lot more health consequences.
Today we are joined by Mr. Ray Estefania, the co-founder and executive director of Family Recovery Specialist, an intensive outpatient program for adolescents and adults, here on eHealth Radio's Addiction Prevention and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So, Mr. Estefania, why has America's opioid epidemic gotten so much worse in recent years?
Well, you know, opioids have been around forever, and so this is not a new problem. But I'd say recently, in the past 10 years or so, it's really become an epidemic. And I think if you remember several years ago, you know, you had a lot of these pain clinics that were providing these prescription medications to patients and doing it quite freely. We went through a phase in our healthcare system where pain became really a major issue. And hospitals and the Joint Commission and different organizations really started to make pain a focus, and we wanted to make sure that patients that were being treated for different medical issues were, you know, were having their pain addressed effectively. And so we became really free with a lot of these medications. Years ago, particularly here in Florida where I am, there were lots of these pain clinics where patients could go and have a prescription made out for an OxyContin or a Percocet or a codeine or something like that. Some people had legitimate medical issues that really needed, you know, pain treatment. Others were just addicted and looking for another way to get their medications. But what happened was, we had a real proliferation of these pain clinics and these doctors that were giving these medicines. Well, that's all changed, right? The state government, the federal government really came down on these doctors and sort of shut that down. I mean, it's to the point now that if you really need a pain medication and you go to the pharmacy, it's you really sort of get the third degree. It's almost swung the other way. It's become very difficult now to get pain medicines, even when you legitimately need them. So these clinics, these doctors are no longer prescribing these medications. So those clients, those patients that were getting those medications now had to turn to the street. And they found that they could, you know, they could obtain heroin on the street. It was cheaper. It was more easily obtained. You know, it was more potent. And so a lot of those people that were addicted to these prescription drugs are now on the street using heroin. And so I think that that's a big reason why we've got the epidemic that we have now, and why so many people are using heroin. Not to mention, again, the young people that are starting at 14, 15 years old and are being introduced to this and exposed to it and are becoming addicted very quickly. So we have a generation now of your sort of 20-somethings that their addiction, which may have started with marijuana and alcohol and some of these less problematic drugs, has now evolved into addiction to heroin and other opiates, which is just bringing a whole other host of problems to these families who are trying to help these kids, and unfortunately many of them are dying of overdose.
Certainly a serious problem we have with the opioid epidemic in the country, no doubt about that. Talk to us about your partnership with Miami Beach and what kind of value are you providing residents there?
Miami Beach approached us several months ago. I get, you know, the community recognized that they had a problem that they really wanted to tackle and try to start preventing some of this drug use in their teens. And so I think what happened was is some of the community leaders and different organizations approached the city of Miami Beach and said, look, we really need to work on prevention here. We need to start educating the community. We need to start educating our students, our parents, our, you know, different members of our community, and we need to tackle this problem. And so the city of Miami Beach approached us and said, look, we want to put together a comprehensive program, an educational, a prevention program for the community that would be delivered to students in the schools, that we would be delivered to parents and anybody else in the community that, that wanted to get more information. And so we partnered with the city of Miami Beach, and we really developed this program that's ongoing right now. We've got a couple of more sessions that we're doing, and we're going to be wrapping it up, but we're hopeful that that we'll do this for them again next year. And it's, again, it's really been about educating the community and mostly helping families, helping parents understand what they can do to encourage their kids to make good decisions and to hopefully stay away from the alcohol and drug use at a young age. And one of the big points that we're trying to get across to parents is really understanding the science around brain development and understanding that the adolescent brain develops a problem with substances very easily and very quickly. And that if we as parents can delay those kids some, maybe get them to college, get them to 18 or 19 or 20 before they start experimenting with alcohol or other substances. Marijuana is another one, very common now that we're seeing with teens. But if we can delay that experimentation, then their risk goes way down, right? If we can let the brain mature and develop a little longer, then the chances that they develop addiction are reduced significantly. So that's really been a focus of what we're out there trying to teach parents and help them understand that they really do have a lot of influence over their teens when it comes to experimenting with substances. And all the research shows that parents are the number one reason that kids make a decision to delay their experimentation and to not use. And so that's really our message, is trying to get out there, help parents understand that they are a huge influence and give them the tools that they can use to hopefully encourage better decision-making in their children.
Well, Mr. Estefania, we certainly appreciate your time in joining our program and bringing focus to this serious problem nationwide, and we really appreciate what you're doing in your location there in South Florida. Where can listeners get further details on Family Recovery Specialist?
So they can Google us. They can just go directly to our website at familyrecoveryspecialist.com. They can also call us directly. We're located here in Miami, but we do a lot of work throughout South Florida and even nationally. And our direct number, if they wanted to reach us here in Miami, is 305 595-7378.
Again, Mr. Estefania, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Eric. Really appreciate you having me today.
It certainly was our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Ray Estefania, the co-founder and executive director of Family Recovery Specialist, an intensive outpatient program for adolescents and adults that also provides concierge crisis case management and intervention services for all ages. And for further details and to learn more, visit FamilyRecoveryspecialist.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.